Some of you may not know, but many, many years ago, okay, when I was still green behind the ears and was just beginning my pastoral ministry, I was called to serve as the associate pastor at the Second Baptist Church of Wilmington, Delaware, a very wealthy congregation in the northern suburbs of Delaware in DuPont country. The people who made up the congregation of Second Church were so affluent that they actually hired a guard to stand in the lobby of the church and guard their coats while they were in worship, many of which I have on good authority were real mink. There was one dear old lady who was a member of the congregation who came to church every Sunday morning in her chauffeured Rolls Royce, and he accompanied her in and held the door for her, the chauffeur, that is. I remember one day when I was talking with a youth group about the very passage of scripture that Rhonda just read to you, we were discussing the attitude of the rich man in Jesus' story towards Lazarus, the beggar, who was laid at his gate. And I was trying to talk with them about how they ought to treat the servants in their households. I know it's a problem you all have. I mean, what do you do with a servant? Okay? I'm talking with him about it, and I remember that one of the kids, I can actually remember the kid, I can see his face and I know his name, but one of the kids in the group saying to me, "But Chuck, you don't understand. They feel honored to serve us." Now, the reason I told you all that is because that is exactly how the rich man in Jesus' story felt about the beggar at his gate. Okay, the rich man. Traditionally, he is given the name Dives, which comes from the Latin word which means rich. And he's given that word because he is really rich. He lived an opulent life. He was not ashamed of his wealth. He enjoyed displaying his wealth for everyone to see. He was proud that he was wealthy. I don't think you got that. He really liked being rich. Mm-hmm. Liked to show it off, wearing really fancy clothes, and I bet he drove a lot of fancy cars. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For those to whom Jesus told this story, the Pharisees, who last week's text tell us loved money, this guy was the poster boy. He had what every Pharisee listening to Jesus wanted most, wealth and everything that money could buy. But Jesus said that every day a poor beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gates of Dives' estate. Lazarus was disgusting. His clothes were rags. He never bathed. His skin was pocked with oozing sores. The scripture says that he would have been happy to eat Dives' garbage, for he had absolutely nothing. He was, in fact, so helpless that dogs came and licked the sores on his body while he lay at Dives' gate, and he couldn't even drive them away. And what Jesus wanted us all to understand is that Dives, who had everything, looked every day at this poor beggar who had nothing and did absolutely nothing for him. He never even lifted a finger to help the beggar. Dives did not even give Lazarus his garbage. You got it? These guys, Dives on one side, Lazarus on the other, are complete opposites. Dives had everything money could buy. Lazarus had absolutely nothing. And Dives thought that this was because God liked him and had chosen him to be rich, not Lazarus. He thought that he was blessed by God because he was well off, and that Lazarus was cursed by God because he was badly off. He felt justified in not giving Lazarus his garbage. And that is exactly what the Pharisees, the religious people of Jesus' day, would have thought too. But, said Jesus, and just a clue, always pay careful attention to what follows the but. Jesus said, but the day came when both men died. And Lazarus, to everyone's surprise, was carried by the angels into heaven. And Dives was allowed to slip slowly into hell. Their situations were completely reversed. Lazarus was in paradise, and Dives was suffering in hell. Now, this was not the way things were supposed to turn out. The Pharisees believed that Dives' wealth showed God's affection for him, and that Lazarus' suffering showed that he was cursed by God. But in Jesus' story, it was the beggar who went to heaven and the rich man who went to hell. You will, of course, remember Jesus' words. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. Jesus said that Dives looked up from hell into heaven, and he saw Lazarus sitting there. He said to Father Abraham, please, sir, have pity on me. I'm down here dying of thirst in hell. Have Lazarus bring me some water. The dude's in hell. And he still thinks that Lazarus ought to be really happy, honored, in fact, to serve him. He still believes that the purpose of that beggar is to bring him water. He believed that the only reason Lazarus existed was to serve him. He's just like the boy in my youth group back at Second Church who believed that Lazarus should feel honored to bring him a drop of water. I gotta tell you, it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. He's in hell, and he still hasn't got it. But Father Abraham explained. Number one, he said, Dives, you already got your reward. See, what Dives wanted above everything else was wealth. He had been given great wealth in this life. He had received the reward that he most desired of all. He had already gotten his reward. And number two, Lazarus had gotten nothing in this life. But now, Lazarus was being blessed by God because his attitude in life had been pleasing to the Lord. And number three, Father Abraham explained that it was physically and spiritually impossible for Lazarus to go to hell to serve Dives. Now, he explained that a great chasm had been fixed, put in place between heaven and hell, so that those in heaven who wanted to go down and serve those in hell couldn't do it. Now, I got to tell you something. That's what gets you into heaven. The right attitude. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Lazarus is up there saying, please, I'll go. I'll do it. I want to go. Let me go serve him, please. And God's saying, no, son. That's over. Enjoy your rest in the kingdom of heaven. And I can tell you for sure that old Dives down there, given a chance, would have flown to heaven in a moment, were there not a great chasm keeping him in the place to which his attitude assigned him. But Father Abraham explained, there's no crossing from one place to the other. But folks, even given Father Abraham's explanation, Dives still didn't get it. He said to Father Abraham, well, if Lazarus can't come down here and give me a drink of water, send him back to earth to warn my brothers not to make the same mistake I did. Do you want to go smack the guy on him? See, he actually believed that Lazarus should be deprived the pleasures of heaven in order to be sent back to earth to help save his family. That's what he thought. Send them back so he can serve me. And Father Abraham, in all of his wisdom, looked at Dives and he said to him, but they have the Bible. Let them read it. For the word of God warns them. And did you catch what Dives said? Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, Father Abraham, but that won't work. They never read the Bible. Do you know, I read it just yesterday, the majority of persons in this country who call themselves Christian only read the Bible 5 times a year. They never read it, he says. Okay, some of you know that you're sitting here today and you never look in the book. See, Dives' brothers are exactly like people today. They want heaven, but they will not open the Word of God, the Holy Bible, in order to find their way there. I have this wonderful t-shirt that's wearing out. It says Bible down here. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? You want to find your way to heaven? It's in the Bible. That's how you get there. If you won't read it, you'll never find your way to the kingdom of God. It's that simple. And that's what Dives says. He says to Father Abraham, I'm sorry, it won't work because they ain't going to read it. They're never going to pick up the book. They're never going to read it. And then Dives said, catch this one now. But if you were to send somebody back from the dead to tell them the way to heaven, then they would listen. Father Abraham said, nah. If they won't read the Bible, they won't believe someone who has arisen from the dead either. And when Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, the very ones to whom Jesus told this story refused to believe the message of him who rose from the dead. And today, people across the globe deny the fact that Jesus returned to life to tell them the truth. This is the way to heaven. Father Abraham was right. Even if someone comes back from the dead, they will not believe. So what are we supposed to learn? What are the lessons from this text today? You ready? Because it goes all over the place. Number one, do not make money your goal. Do not put money first. If what you want in this life is money, you may get it, but you will lose your reward in heaven. Don't make money your goal. And number two, be very careful how you look at other people. See, in God's eye, the beggar has as much value as does the President of the United States. There is no one more important in God's eyes than you. We are all equal before Him. He looks at us with compassion and love, and He wants us to look at each other in the same way because we love Him. Got it? Got it? Be careful how you look at other people. And number three, read the Bible and believe the Word of God. For there ain't nobody coming back from the dead. And if they did, no one would believe. But God has told us in His Word how we get to heaven. One word. Jesus.